What's up? Listen, if the lights were a little darker, like if I knew for a fact you guys couldn't see me, I would be like fist pumping the whole time. Those songs are so good. So anyway, this morning we're going to wrap up our series called A Prophet and a Prostitute. But before we get into that, let's talk about Thanksgiving. Man, wow. So you didn't enjoy Thanksgiving? All right, well, let's go right on. Let's move right on. Shelly, show me this. This is how our evenings typically wrap up. We put the kids to bed, and then we go sit on the couch for, like, you know, the decompress. If you have kids, you know what that means. If you don't, your time's coming. Like, you'll figure it out one day. And so, you know, it's like 9:30 at night. We finally get to stop, and we're just like, you know, you're just relaxing. And so I'll put it on SportsCenter, and I'm watching ESPN, and Shelly's on the other end of the couch because we've got these reclining. It's really awesome. The couches recline. But Shelly has to get on the other end, and she loves to snuggle, and I don't, so it works out great for me. She hates it. So anyway, she gets her iPad, and she's, like, going through Pinterest. So she always reads me the, you know, the little, you know, e-cards and the memes and stuff like that, anyone that's, you know, worth repeating. And so she showed me one the other day. It was with respect to Thanksgiving. It was like, you know, it's Thanksgiving, you know, happy Thanksgiving or whatever. Don't forget to set your scales back 10 pounds. And I hope you did that because... You know how to, man, it wouldn't be so bad if there just wasn't so much dadgum dessert, you know? I mean, the turkey's not so bad. It's just all that pie. Hey. So this morning, what we're going to do in the Prophet and Prostitute series is wrap up with this word that's kind of come up over and over throughout the series, and it's the word pursued. And you just can't look at this story and not see or use that word, because that's the word that defines and shows how Hosea went after Gomer, and the love that he had for her was a pursuing love, because you have to pursue. So here's the deal. When one party isn't in the relationship or isn't committed to the relationship like the other one is, then that person has to pursue the other person. And so that's the way that Hosea, that's the affection that he had for Gomer, who was, Hosea was the prophet, Gomer was the prostitute, if you're not familiar with it. And so there's this word called pursued, or this idea of being pursued, that really sums up this entire story. That Gomer, this woman that probably, if we were just being honest, didn't really do a lot to deserve love, right? I mean, there's not much about her that's respectable or commendable, or that would make a very upstanding individual want to be married to her. But in spite of that, he pursued her. And it's just really cool because the whole thing, it's all a parallel. It's a correlation of how God loves us, and he pursues us. And so, man, that's one of the things. I don't know about you. We all have different backgrounds and different stories. But I know one thing that always kind of, you know, gets me in the feels. You ever have something like that? It's just like every time you think about something, you're like, man, that's good. I'm thankful for that, right? One of the things that gets me is just when I think about how I was and who I was and the path that I was on, and that God in his mercy saved me, and it changed my life. I'm a different person because of it. It's one of those things that every time I stop and really, really think about it, it's just like, man, that's good. Thank God he pursued me. Right? And I know you probably have your own story and you feel the same way, and I hope you do. And so we're going to talk about some of those things this morning. But there's just not a more apt description of the relationship that God has with us than looking at this story and seeing the relationship that Hosea has with Gomer. And I know we don't like that, or you shouldn't, right? We shouldn't enjoy being compared to a prostitute. But really, I mean, if you just look at it and you're honest, that's kind of how we are a lot of times. Because the idea is just simply that we betray God, and we do that on a pretty regular basis. I know I do. I'm just like, you know, you have days where you do things or say things that you wished you wouldn't have done, and at its core, that's what it is. You're just betraying God, and in spite of that, he continues to pursue us. So what we're going to talk about is how God's, he pursues us then, now, and always. You're pursued then. You were pursued, I guess, if you got to use present and past participles and all those fancy grammar things that I forgot about 10 years ago, right? And so you were pursued then, you are pursued now, and you will be pursued always. Like, it's just the way that it works. It's the way that it is. It's this relentless love that God has for us. And there's this verse in Psalms that really, man, it kind of sums this whole thing up. It wraps it all up. And it's Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, and it says this. And this is so cool, because if you get this, if you kind of understand what's going on here and you see kind of the implications of this verse, you're just like, that's pretty cool. So David's writing, and he's like, okay, God, where can I go to get away from your spirit? Like, where can I go that you're not? Because I think at this point, if you read kind of in the context, like, David was kind of upset with God. He was frustrated with God. There were things in his life that weren't going the way that he thought that they should go. And so he's like, I'm just kind of done with it. I'm through. Like, I've had enough. I've trusted in you, and things aren't working out like I think that they should. So he starts with the question based on that. He's like, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And then I guess maybe in the middle of this, he has this epiphany, and he's like, if I go up to the heavens, obviously God's there, right? I mean, I would think. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. There's one version that said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. Like, God is everywhere. You can't get away from him. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. It's just kind of a very, you know, beautiful, poetic language to describe the fact that God is going to pursue you wherever you go in life. Like, you can't run. Like, what's the, you can run, but you can't hide, right? Like, those things that we say when we were kids. Like, it's so true. Like, God pursues us, and there's nowhere that you can go to get away from him. And people, I've heard stories, some incredibly powerful testimonies and stories of people's lives where they have just gotten so far in a mess and darkness and craziness, and still, in all of that, they find God pursuing them, and God pulls them out of some crazy situations. And so that's just the setup. That's kind of the backdrop that we're going to view this whole thing through, that you are pursued then, you are pursued now, and you will be pursued always. And it really doesn't matter where you go. We use this expression, it doesn't matter where you go, where you've been, what you've done. Like, we're just glad that you're here, you know? Hey, so that's where we're going to start. Pursued then. I think this should always start, and I've kind of already alluded to this. It should always start when you just think retrospectively, you think back on your life. It should always start with kind of your conversion moment, your salvation moment, your Jesus moment, whatever you want to call it. Like, when you just think back of how you were pursued. And for me, a lot of people, it seems to be like a moment. For me, it was like several moments, because I'm a little thicker than most, right? A little dense. Like, it took a few more knocks on the head to get it right for me. I don't know how you work. So I think about the season of change in my life and all of those things. And I think that's where it should start. We should always think back on our lives and see the course that we were on. And typically the end that leads to is not a good one. And then you look at the way that God has changed your life, and the end of that life is a much better option, right? I think it's just a great place to start thinking about how God pursued us. Because then when you see that, because I don't know about you, but there were so many things that had to happen in my life to kind of change the route that I was on. Because I was convinced that I was doing pretty well, right? If you probably were there. Like, I didn't think I needed a major overhaul in my life. I thought things were going pretty good. But when you start kind of comparing what you think is good to what is really good, it makes all the difference in the world. And so, anyway, it's such a powerful thing just to look back at the circumstances and the people that were involved and the grace that led us to faith. And that should engender, like, such an appreciation. Just, man, thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy that I don't deserve, right? I mean, that's what grace and mercy, that's what it is. It's this gift that you don't deserve, that you could never repay, that was given to you anyway. That was poetic. Beautiful, beautiful. And so that's just the starting point. I think you should also think about, like, you know, things that you've gone through, struggles. See, we don't like struggles. Like, I don't know, nobody wakes up in the morning and it's like, God, give me a difficult day. Like, nobody's that dumb, right? Like, we don't like struggles, but our struggles are the things that typically strengthen us the most, and our lives are forged in adversity, right? Sounds very coaching and poetic, right? And so I think when we think back on our lives and we see the struggles that we've gone through and the circumstances that we didn't consider favorable, and we've gone through them, it just helps us to appreciate the grace and mercy of God even more, and his sustaining ability, and the fact that we can do this. Like, man, whatever it is that comes our way, like, when you look back, it really just helps you to look forward, because everything that you've gone through, you know that you can go through it again if you have to. Okay, I don't know. I feel some soul. This is something to help you remember that. Everything that you've gone through will be something that you can use kind of as, you know, just, I guess, a platform to stand on when you're going through something else. We use this expression, if I wouldn't have been there, I wouldn't be here. And there are things, man, I can tell you on a personal level and even with the church, like things that we've gone through. And if things that I considered unfavorable or adversity or difficulty, if I wouldn't have gone through those, then I wouldn't be at a certain point in my life. Like, some things have to happen for other things to happen, right? And you can do this. You can look back on your life at relationships that didn't work out, and then you see, like, later down the road, you sure are glad that it didn't work out, right? Right? It typically, this happens after high school and college, and you look back and you're like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can do this with jobs or careers, like things that didn't work out like you kind of wish they would in the moment, and you look back and you see, oh, that's good. I'm glad that God's a lot smarter than I am, and things didn't work out like I wanted to. They worked out like he wanted them to because it turned out for my good and my better. Like, there's this clever way of thinking about this. We have a very limited perspective. Like, just we have a partial perspective and a limited perspicacity. That just means intelligence, right? We don't have it all figured out. We don't see everything. We don't know everything, but God does. And he knows that sometimes you have to go through struggles to get to the point and the place that he wants you to be. And here's the cool thing. This is what is really fascinating to me. Like, every time struggles are mentioned in the Bible, it's for our good. Like, it says that, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you go through trials and difficulties. And I'm like, no. Right? I mean, nobody's really happy about struggles, but it's always for our good. It's making us better. It strengthens our faith. It helps us to trust in God more deeply. It helps us to love each other more fully. Because, like, you really love somebody when you've gone through something with somebody, right? Like, this puppy love that's like you've never had a fight, wait till you get married, right? Right? All the married people said, mm-hmm. Because, see, everybody has this stupid fantasy, fairy tale idea of marriage, and it's just not. Marriage is awesome, but marriage is work, homie. Like, it's just, if you want a strong marriage, if you want a good marriage, you better be ready to put in work. If you're lazy and you think that it's going to be a honeymoon for the next 40 years, you're an idiot. I'm just telling you. Like, I have the best wife in the entire world, and it still is work on us, and it's usually my fault that it's work, right? Because one person usually carries the load, and the other one brings up the rear. Hey, and so, man, we can all look at our lives and we see, usually, like I said, with the privilege of hindsight, how God has worked out things for our good. He was pursuing us to a certain end all throughout our history and everything that we've gone through. And I think it's just a really healthy practice to look back and just thank God for what you've gone through to get to where you are today. There's this verse in Psalm 77, verse 11, and it says this: I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. And it's just like, I think the idea is just, hey man, stop and look at your life. Think about where you are now and maybe some of the really hard things that you've gone through. I know sometimes we don't like to do that because it brings up, you know, old feelings or emotions or things you don't want to deal with. But that's okay because you've gotten through it. Like, you're on the other side of it, and you can look and just be thankful and appreciative of what it is that God has helped you to get through and who it is that you are today because of what you've gone through in the past, right? So that's good. So that's the first one, is that we've always been pursued whether we wanted to or not. Like, that's the idea of pursuit. It's like this never-ending game of tag, and you can't quit. Like, you're going to be chased for the rest of your life. It's kind of creepy but awesome at the same time. It's like God said, I'm chasing you. You know, however you could do that a little more creepy. It's like, you look so peaceful when you sleep. So that's the first one, just that you were always pursued then. The second one is this, like, that we're pursued now. Like, God is pursuing us now, even as we speak. Like, this life that we're living right now in the day-to-day, God is pursuing us. And this is one of the ones that I think, just in my opinion, it's a little harder to see sometimes. Like, it's really, really easy to look back and see how situations worked out like they did, and oh yeah, God was in control, and it all worked out like it should have, and it all makes sense now. And if you look kind of ahead, it's usually easier to see how, you know, God, we say things like, you know, God has a plan for you, and he holds my future in his hands. Like, it's easy to see how things are going to work out in the distance or in the future, but sometimes when you're in the now, it's really hard to see how things are working for your good. Right? It's really hard to understand how what you're going through right now that doesn't make any sense to you, and you wouldn't do it the way that it's happening to you. It's hard to see how that is actually working for your good. It's hard to see how God is pursuing you in the middle of your mess, right? I know I do this. And man, I have pity parties sometimes. And I'm just like, shut up, right? And that's the best thing you can say to yourself when you're having a pity party, because they're ridiculous. They are absolutely, here's the deal. Jesus died on a cross. Pity party? Shut up, right? Tell yourself what I didn't tell you to shut up. You tell you to shut up. It's even more powerful, right? If somebody else tells you to shut up, they get slapped. You tell yourself to shut up, time to go to work, do business. So it's just, like I said, I think it's a lot more difficult to see this sometimes, how God is pursuing us in the now, but he is. It can be difficult to navigate, you know, in the here and now, but God pursues us even when things don't make sense, even when you're in the middle of a storm and you can't see 5 feet in front of you. Have you ever been in a rainstorm, like where the bottom fell out and it was just, you know, a torrential downpour, and you literally can't see 5 feet in front of you? Like, in the middle of that, like, just, you know, kind of as a metaphor, like, when life is crazy like that and it doesn't make sense, like, God is still pursuing you. He still loves you. And even when things are difficult and crazy and mad and whatever, you know, descriptive you want to use, like, you're pursued and you will always be pursued. And there's nothing you can do to stop from being pursued. There's no place you can go. You can't go to the heavens because he's there. You can't go to the depths because he's there. You can't go to the other side of the ocean because he's there. You're always going to be pursued. So I know it's a lot more difficult when we're in these seasons of struggle and maybe loss to see how God's working and what he's doing. But I think this is where faith kicks in. Like, isn't that the idea of faith? Like, what is faith unless your faith is tested? Hebrews chapter 11 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen, right? Like, it's what we want, but we don't necessarily see it, but we trust anyway. That's what faith is. And when you're in the middle of this crazy life or mess or you know, season or whatever it is, like, if you're not in one now, just hold on. You will be, right? Like, life ebbs and flows. That's just the way it works. Like, you will have a season like this. Everybody does, except for Shelly. Her life is perfect all the time. You think I'm playing. Man, it's just, that's what kind of makes me, it makes me a little more irritable about my life, because, you know, I'm more volatile than she is, and she's, like, awesome all the time. So then, like, the days that I'm kind of, you know, having a suck attitude, and she's, like, perfect, I'm like, well, my life sucks even more, you know? The struggle is real. Anyway, so that's what faith is, man. It's just this belief that it's all going to work out, that God is good, that he is in control, no matter what we go through, that we trust him and we believe him and he's going to take care of us because he always does. It's all going to work out. It always does. You know, it's so funny to me that we do this to ourselves. Like, when we're in, you know, a struggle, we're in a mess, we're in a difficult season, like, we just believe for some reason or another that we're going to die. Or it's not going to work out, or I'm never going to get through this, or the mountain is just too tall, or the valley is just too deep. And what's funny is, like, you just went through the same thing not 2 months ago, and you're fine. Like, you made it, you know? I don't know. Interesting. Do with that what you want. And so there's this verse in Philippians. So just kind of, if you guys were here for the Precepts from Philippians series, you know this. Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to the church at Philippi. And what was interesting is that, like, some of our favorite verses come from this letter that Paul wrote while he was in prison. Like, he wasn't in the greatest of circumstances. He didn't have just everything. He wasn't sitting under a palm tree on the beach, you know, sipping on whatever you would, coconut oil or water or whatever. Whatever Paul would drink if he were sitting on a beach, right? And so, like, his life wasn't fantastic. But he wrote things like, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And then in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, all of these very inspirational verses that people get tattooed on them, and they're like, yeah, right? He wrote it while he was in prison. And at the beginning of the book, like, he kind of sets it all up, and he says something to the effect of, everything that's happening to me is actually turning out for the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel. Like, I can see, even in the middle of my mess, how things are working out for good, and things are turning out way better than I anticipated. Like, my setback is really just a setup for what God is trying to do in my life. I sold that one. That one's so good. Like, seriously, your setback, the thing that you think is knocking you off course or holding you back from getting to where it is that you're trying to be, it may just be a setup for what it is that God really wants to do in your life. And we're all probably guilty of this. Like, when somebody tells me no, I'm just like, stupid. Do you like to be told no? Like, no, I don't think anybody likes to be told no. And when things happen like that and it sets us back, it usually kind of frustrates us or it irritates us or distracts us or discourages us. But we just have to remember that whatever it is that is a setback may just be a setup for what it is that God wants to do in your life. And if we kind of approach it from the perspective that everything that he wants to do is way better than anything that we want to do, it's okay. You can go that route. It's going to work out. It's all good. Our response to just this notion of God pursuing us always is just to trust him and just believe that he's good, that he's going to work it out, that he's got it under control. And even if things get crazy and even if things get, you know, wild or difficult or it feels like this mad storm, like, just trust that God is good and that he's in control. Like, what more could you do? Like, what are we going to do in our human efforts? We usually make things worse, right? I mean, have you looked at history lately? We typically screw things up. Like, let's just rest and have faith and peace and trust that God is good and that he's going to work it out on our behalf. And so what's really cool is kind of in this story of Hosea and Gomer, you get to see how this works even when we don't want it to work. Like, we talked about how God pursues us even when we don't want to be pursued. Hosea pursued Gomer even when she didn't want to be pursued. Like, there's a part in the story, and we talked about this, but, you know, just to make sure everybody's fully aware. So Hosea marries Gomer, and then she leaves. Like, after they're married, she leaves to go back to her life of prostitution. And at this point, like, if I were the prophet, let's just be honest, right? First off, I would have had a real problem with God telling me to marry a prostitute. Be like, hold up. You said what? Right? Nobody else has a problem with that. So I married... Let's just say for the sake of argument here that I agree to it. I'm the prophet and I agree to it. And I'm like, okay, God, you're the man. Whatever you want, I'm going to do. And then she leaves and goes back to her life of prostitution. I'd be like, I'm done. Woo! You know, it's like one of those reliefs. You're like, thank God, that's over. But he didn't do that. Like, he pursued her again. Like, he went after her again. And it's the same thing with us. Like, you were pursued every single day of your life. Like, God is in hot pursuit of you right now, and you're never going to get away. Like, which, again, is very powerful and kind of frightening at the same time. So that's the second one, is that you're going to be pursued. You are pursued right now, and it's just an incredible thing. But the last one is this, that you are pursued always. Like, God always will pursue you. And this, again, kind of just to round out the conversation, like, God will pursue you for the rest of your life into perpetuity, which is fun, right? It's important for us just to be reminded that God will pursue us for the rest of our lives, that there's nowhere that we're going to go, there's no place, there's no plan that we have that he's not already there, and there's no plan that he has, more importantly, there's no plan that he has for us that isn't kind of already laid out for us. Like, we say these things, and I don't know if we really believe them or not, but, like, we say things like, God has a plan for you, and we say that and we believe it, but do we really believe it? Because a lot of times I think we try to chart our own course and then, you know, let God sort out the details or clean up the mess more often than not, right? And so I think, man, we really need to view our perspective or have a perspective of our future that God has a plan for us, and it would make it a lot easier on us and everybody involved if we would do what he wants us to do instead of us doing what we want to do and then asking him to clean up our mess after the fact. I don't know. Do with it what you want. So like I said, we use language in Christianity like purpose, and we say phrases like God has a plan for your life and God has your future in his hands. And it doesn't matter how many times we use these verses or these words or these phrases, like, it's still true. Have you ever used something so many times that it almost didn't seem real? Like, I've done this where you try to spell a word, like, that can't be right. T-H-E. No, that ain't right. Can't be right. It's just sometimes I think we're so familiar that it seems weird at times. I don't know. I don't know how that works. It's a mind trick, I'm assuming. But it doesn't matter how many times we say this or how many times you've heard this. Like, it's still true. Like, you hear it so many times because it is true. Like, God does have a plan for your life, and he's going to pursue you to that end until the end. Like, you're always going to be pursued to live the life that God wants you to live, to be the person that God wants you to be. There's this really, it's kind of obscure, this passage in the New Testament, and I've heard it, you know, since I became a Christian or since I started going to church. Have you ever heard something in church and you just kind of like nod your head, but you have no clue what they're talking about? Right? That was the first 5 years of me going to church. I'm like, yeah,
what? What? So there's this really kind of, like I said, obscure verse in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, and it says this. It says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And I heard that a lot, and I'm just like, that sounds really cool. What the heck does that mean, right? And I looked up kind of the, you know, I try to be all intelligent and look up the Greek words so I sound really smart when I mispronounce them up here. But you guys don't know them, so you think I'm smart, I think. So it says, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And you usually hear this like somebody that kind of got away from God or got away from church or stopped going to church or being the person they were supposed to be, and they came back, and then they throw out this verse, and they're like, yeah, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. What does that even mean? And so, like I said, I looked it up. The word for calling, it means the divine invitation to embrace the salvation of God. Wow. Isn't that good? Why didn't we just put that instead of calling? Like, the divine invitation to embrace the salvation of God is irrevocable. And the word irrevocable simply means that it's unrepentant. That means it does not quit. It does not stop. It will not let up. It's unrelenting. And so the salvation of God is unrelenting. Like, he will pursue you for the rest of your life to be the person that he created you to be, to save you from you and save you from mess and save you from your plans that typically end poorly. Like, that's the irrevocable calling and gift that God has for you. He will pursue you for the rest of your life to be the person that he wants you to be. And man, like, that's such a good thing. Because what we do is a lot of times, like, we think we're doing okay and we could always do better. So there's this constant guiding light, this constant North Star, this constant, like, what's the commercial? Maybe it's Fidelity or something where it's got the green, you know, arrow and you got to follow the green arrow, right? It's like for the rest of your life, you'll have that. And you'll know kind of where it is that you're supposed to go and what it is that you're supposed to do and who it is that you're supposed to be. And if you get off track a little bit, you can always find that arrow that you need to get on to continue on the right path. And so it's just a beautiful thing to look forward and see that God will pursue you for the rest of your life. And you cannot stop it. Like, that's the really cool thing. This is a terrible analogy. The dudes will like this. The girls are going to be like, that's dumb. Just go with it, okay? I heard a story one time. A guy told me a story one time. And it makes it more interesting when you think about, this guy was really arrogant. Have you met arrogant people, right? Like, just doesn't get more arrogant than this dude. So he was telling me a story one time. It's funny that he even told me this because he was so arrogant. Because typically arrogant people only present, like, the positive side of themselves, right? And so he was telling me a story one time about he got into a fight. And the dudes are like, yeah, tell me more, right? What is the dog commercial? He's like, yeah. Bacon? I don't know. And so he was telling me a story one time about he got into a fight, and he was like, dude, I was bad. Like, I was the man. I was so much stronger than this guy, and I was just fixing to mop the floor with his face, right? Is what he's telling me. And so he's like, he was bigger than him. He was a lot stronger than him. And so he said that, so I knocked him down. Like, just stuck him, knocked him down. And he got back up. So I knocked him down again, and he got back up. He's like, I couldn't knock him out. Like, I kept hitting this guy, and he kept getting back up. And finally, like, the smaller guy whooped this dude, this arrogant guy, like, just wore him out, like, just continued to pursue him. He was unrelenting, like, and eventually overtook him, even though he wasn't as strong and you know, awesome as this other guy was. And I just thought, you know, again, it's a terrible analogy, but it makes sense. Like, when you see, like, it's not going to stop. Like, God will not relent in his pursuit of you. He's always, and eventually he will overtake you, because that's what he does. And it's a good thing to be overtaken by God, right? And so I think this morning, I just want to look back and kind of think about our lives and where we've been and what we've gone through, like what we're going through and the future that God has for us. And of course, you know, just kind of the Thanksgiving tie-in is just to be appreciative, man, just to thank God for what he's done for us. And the new band's going to come and we're going to sing a song together that kind of sums this whole thing up. So let me pray, and then we'll do that. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful for everything that you do for us, that you've done for us, that you will do for us. God, I pray that we never get so focused on one aspect of our life that we fail to look at the other two. God, if we're so focused on the now,
that we forget what you've done or what you're going to do, or if we get so far future focused or you know, looking into the future that we forget what's going on right now or what you've done in the past, God, or whatever the case may be, God, that we always have some balance with respect to this, God, because it helps us to appreciate the fullness of your love and your pursuit of us. God, help us just to be reminded constantly, God, that we can't get away from you, and that's a good thing, that we shouldn't want to get away from you. God, that we should appreciate the love that you have for us, that pursues us in our mess. God, it pursues us when we're struggling. It pursues us when our faith is weak. It pursues us, God, when we can't make sense of anything. God, I pray that you would just help us to see that we're pursued in every season of our life, and that's a good thing. Jesus, we love you so much, and we thank you for this. It's in your name we pray. And everybody say, amen.